Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
All right, so my name is Eric Ziegler, and I think it's awesome that I get to share God's word. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm pretty excited. I'm also a little nervous just because I think I take this seriously. You know, I don't want to misrepresent Christ. And but just to give a little bit of backstory about myself, I remember whenever I was young, probably about 11 years old, and I really felt like God had called me to teach, possibly preach. I don't know. You know, I just really felt called. And I kind of kept it to myself because at the time it was like not the cool thing. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of friends that were wanting to grow up and do that kind of thing and started getting into sports. And it just wasn't the thing, you know what I mean? And I remember having this thought like, man, if I pursue God, if I have a relationship with him, and I knew this in my heart, somebody planted this seed, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, but using somebody that if I follow God, that I would have the best possible life that I could have. And that no matter what else, what other option there was, that he was the best option. And of course, like you just got through saying, the devil was like, let me disrupt that a little bit. So there were years of chaos and me not walking in a relationship. And that's really why it was chaotic, as I wasn't in a relationship. But I remember that same thing came through in my teenage years. And I was at a church service and there was a guy there that had a gift of prophecy and things like that. And he was praying over people. I'd never seen him before. It was probably a Tuesday night at that church. And, I don't think I even went Sunday. I was just randomly like, I better go to church. And I remember he said, hey, let's all just, we were singing and we were kind of just trying to be in the presence of God, just being quiet and listening. And he said, he's kind of talking us through it. And he says, what is it that God has called you to do in your life? And I remember having this smile come over my face and I was like, God, I don't think so. You're going to have to give up on that one, because I really felt like he had called me to share his word. And I felt like it was a little more than we're all called to do that, but I really felt like it was more. You know, I knew it was in a different capacity, but at the time I was like, I don't think so. I was like, you're going to have to get somebody else. But I remember instantly just coming to mind. And so years more go by, and I remember coming into my 30s. I'm 37 now, and I had lived a pretty ridiculous life and unbelief, and you know, my actions proved what I believed, and I wasn't walking in belief through a lot of my life, and did a lot of things that I wouldn't have had I been in a relationship with Christ. And so here I come in my 30s, and I'm getting stirred up, and I'm getting back in the Word, and I'm feeling this call to maturity. You know, you can't just keep going on and on and on. You don't have forever, right? And, but I feel this call and I respond and I start taking this, relationship with Christ more seriously, start getting the word all the time. And I start remembering back. I'm like, man, you had that call on me when I was young. I had somebody prophesy. Oh, by the way, I don't think I told you that. Guy goes around, he prays over people I've never seen in my life. And he prays over me. He says exactly what God said to me, prophesied over my life. And I'm just like, this is crazy. This guy knows something, you know, like I don't know. At the time you're questioning it, trying to make sense of it, but it was God, right? And I don't know, when I came in my 30s and this word, you know, you get it in you, just you're on fire for God. And it starts changing your life and you want to tell everybody. I remember just like, who am I going to call? You know, this is crazy. You just want to tell everybody all this awesome stuff, this relationship with Christ. And I remember saying, man, he called me to share his word when I was young, and that was confirmed. And I felt like, oh, man, I think I missed the opportunity, because here I am trying to figure it out. Like, how am I going to share God's word? I've got a career. I'm working in restaurants. I'm doing this and that. And I think that door has passed, possibly, although I know all things are possible. I couldn't see it. And so I was a little disheartened. But the funny thing is I just stayed in relationship with him and kept pursuing him and letting him to work on my character, you know, changing my life, my heart, my emotions. Now It's been almost 2 years I've been going out and teaching. And at some point, I think there's times I came home and I told my wife, I said, I don't think I was teaching today. I'm pretty sure I was preaching. It was a difference. It was like the Holy Spirit was working through me. But I've been going out to the homeless shelter for almost 2 years now on Sunday morning before church and giving the word out there. And it's been really awesome because God has really changed my life in that. And He's showed me His ways in a lot of ways. And the one thing I was just talking to Garrett about a little bit ago is that one thing He showed me is like there is no, like there's a system in being in a relationship, but as far as like you got to be led by the Spirit. And He has taught me in the last 2 years that like there's not a routine I'm going to put on Him. I'm not going to put Him in a box and go open it up and pull it out the same way every time. Like He is, man, it's been a real process of just learning His ways and being and following the Holy Spirit, and it's been awesome. And so I'm still on that path though. I mean, I'm a baby Christian in a lot of ways, and I'm excited, and I'm never gonna go the other direction again. I'm sure of that. But it's a pleasure to be able to share His word, and it's changed my life, every area of my life. So I don't know. I wanted you guys to know that so you'd have a little bit of understanding about where I come from and where my heart's at. And, I feel like God has called me. I remember sharing, I was going out to, Lifeline with John, started a couple of years ago going out there. And I remember at some point, several months into it, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 months into it, I told him, I said, you know, I really feel like the Holy Spirit has like, I don't even know how to explain it, but what it was, I was like, I really feel like He gave me permission that I can start inviting people into the family. And He's like, yes, you've become an ambassador, you know? And so it's just really cool. Like the Holy Spirit will really lead you. And I actually was thinking about this earlier today and I was like, man, am I even going to bring it up? But I will, because here we are and it's what's on my mind. But when we're discipling somebody, it's really, there's a balance in that. You know what I mean? So like we're teaching them God's way. We're teaching them the word. But at the same time, we can't be their person. We can't be their source. We can't hold their hand. And I'm really thankful. And sometimes I'm like, man, did this happen? Because, you know, John has discipled me. But he didn't do it by holding my hand every day. Or walking me through it every single day. In fact, there was times when I remember, and he don't even know this, I was like, man, I really wish I could pick his brain about stuff. But what he did, what was really awesome, is he introduced me to the one who really disciples you, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so now I'm just like, man, I want to disciple people, but I want to be sure I'm clear about what I'm doing. I'm really just introducing them to the person who disciples me every day. You know what I mean? So that's how I walk this out. It's real interactive. It's live. It's an awesome relationship. And it starts in the Word. Good intro, I hope. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Right? All right. So you guys are going to encourage me a little bit tonight. I was sad Lauren wasn't here. I told him I needed his, what did I say it was? His holy grunts. Because on Tuesday night, I sit back there a couple rows behind him, and he does the, and I'm like, man, that's encouraging me, and I'm not even talking. You know what I mean? So, Jim, you're in charge of holy grunts tonight, all right? There you go. Jim's got the holy grunts now. Good. All right. I like that. Just every few minutes, be good. All right. So we'll say a little prayer here. Dear Holy Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get in your word tonight. I just hope that we receive it with a believing heart, Lord, that we allow that seed to get into the good soil, Lord, and produce fruit. We just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to open up in 2 Timothy 3:15. This is I think a lot of people probably know this. And usually it's 3:16 and 17. Every time I look at this, it's 3:16 and 17. And I've read through 2 Timothy, but you know, when this was put on my heart to bring these verses up tonight, I was like, man, look at verse 15. It's so good. And then I was like, 14, 13, 12. I was like, all right, we're going to stop at 15, though. So 15, it says, and that from a child, and this is Paul writing to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so, goes on to say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so whenever I'm reading this Bible, I've really started trying to have that as my mindset. First of all, I need to kind of understand what this is saying, that doctrine that it gives, all scripture, first of all scripture, every bit of this is by inspiration of God. The Holy Spirit wrote this book. I had somebody the other day say, those letters in red, they're really important. They're the most important. I was like, they're pretty important. That's what Jesus said. And I said, and the Holy Spirit said all the ones in black. You know what I mean? So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all important, right? Yeah. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable. So one thing that I've tried to do, because I know throughout my life, if I looked at it like that, as literal as that said, it would have really had a bigger effect on my life when I was reading it. So now when I'm reading it, I look at it that way. This is the Word of God. And the doctrine that it's given me is, it's the gospel truth. That's how I look at it. It's the gospel truth. And the reproof, that would be correction. That would be a correcting you when you're in sin. And so all throughout these books, I've read it before and I'm like, oh, I read that and I'm not feeling like I'm in a very good spot. You know, and whenever I was rebelling and I was coming back in, it seemed like it was real easy for it to correct me. I was taking the Word of God and I was like, yes. You know, and I'd say a prayer. I want that. I want that. I want that. And then I eventually got to a place to where I was like, man, I'm walking this out pretty good. You know what I mean? And things are going well. God has smiled upon me. Things are happening. People are happy. My life's pretty happy. Things are going pretty good. And I started, seriously, thankful it wasn't too long, but there was a good time period. And I know for a fact it could have been for the rest of my life. I feel very lucky, but I had started reading, and where the Word would still be trying to give me reproof, correction from sin, I got to a point where I was like, I don't really think that's for me. You know what I mean? Like, there's an acceptable amount of sin we all have, you know, and the big ones are done away with. I have been delivered from bondage, you know, because I had a lot of bondage in my life. And so it was like, it did its job. It's cleaned me up. I'm presentable. I walk through the church. I feel pretty good about myself. People don't think, hey, well, they might. Jim, no? I didn't get a grunt. I was making sure. But, you know, you feel pretty good. Life's good. And you carry around some baggage, but it's an acceptable amount of baggage. We all carry it, right? And so that's kind of where I was at. And I was just like, and then I'd have these moments where I'm like, man, is that... especially when I started teaching, and I'm out here sharing this gospel, and I'm like, man, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed, but there was a part of my heart and my conscience that was condemning me because I didn't totally feel free. I was still carrying around a little bag of stuff that I knew God didn't want me to have, an acceptable amount of sin that I even would want to break free of but couldn't. So I just learned to be like, well, it's part of it. I'm in this body and it's going to do what it does. I'm in this world and I'm not going to walk through it perfectly. And Satan's been practicing his job for a long time, so I'm going to lose sometimes. You know what I mean? But it's just this acceptable amount that you carry. And then you talk to other people, like, yeah. They validate you because a lot of times we're real similar. We're all humans, right? We have similar experiences. So it's really good when somebody makes you feel good when you're not, you know what I'm saying, not exactly where you need to be. They're like, that's okay. It's fine. So we validate each other. But whenever I'm teaching and I'm reading the Word and I'm studying the Word and I keep seeing, and I'm telling you, seriously, I'm wanting this reproof. I'm leaning in. I'm desiring it. And it was like how I kept reading in different places, like, man, they have something. Because they keep talking about this stuff as if it's all behind them. I'm not kidding. I read stuff and I'm like, how do they talk about all this sin, all the passions of the flesh, all this stuff in a manner that's past tense? Are they not being practical? You know, are they not? But the thing is it's the Word of God, right? It's all Scripture given by inspiration of God. And its purpose is for doctrine, for reproof. So it's trying to give me reproof. And I don't think I was willing to accept it because everybody's validated a lot, not necessarily everybody, but a lot of people validated that it was fine. So here I am. I'm in it. I'm having an issue because I'm teaching. And I'm trying to help people get out of their bondage so that they could come over to my side and find out that secretly I'm still in some bondage. And it's an acceptable amount of bondage. It's okay. It's the part that didn't get washed off yet. You know what I mean? And so it was really, I don't know, I'm thankful that came like to a crossroads in my life. I think the Holy Spirit really brought me to that. And the Word of God is also profitable for correction. So we start getting off path a little bit. We start allowing, in this regard, what I'm talking about, we start giving regards to our experience. Our experience, whether we know it or not, starts validating the Word of God. And we start saying, well, you know, you are in this fallen world, you are in this, Satan's in charge, and you are in this body that does its thing, and we start validating the Word of God by our experience. And I want to say, I guess for the record, that my experience doesn't validate the Word of God. If somebody comes up to me and is like, man, this is what the Word of God says, you believe that? Yep. Well, do you have that? Is that what your experience is? It's just ridiculous to think that that's even measures up. If we want a life to validate the Word of God, we look to Jesus. Jesus's life validates the Word of God. God's Word validates the Word of God. And so here I am really trying to pursue this life with Christ and, you know, walk it out the way he's supposed to, and I'm sharing this life with people, but I'm wanting to share, and it's in power. I know the Word of God's in power, and I know it totally can change your life. And I know that God, Jesus Christ, didn't come to deliver us from sin to leave us in sin. Where was the breakdown? How are these people in the Bible talking about stuff that they have and I want? I wanted it. I listen to Paul, I'm reading, and it's like I can teach this gospel because it's effectually working in me. It's working. The gospel he's teaching is working, and he's walking it out. And I wanted that. And it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so something I'd pull out of that is that we have to have the scriptures. We have to be read up on our scriptures. And there's interactions and encounters in our life that we're going to be prepared for, conversations we're going to be prepared for. The conversation you had with the cook the other day, you know, you're in a relationship with God. You're prepared to give that little witness there. That was a seed you dropped out there. You know, and those seeds sometimes they accumulate and they grow, and God causes them to grow. But if we're not in relationship and we're not in the Word, we're not prepared. And there is a path we're all supposed to walk. There's all kinds of interactions. So I'm going to hit on a couple of scriptures. 1 John 3. And just so y'all know up front, going to 1 John 3 without reading 1 and 2 doesn't do as good as it would do if we had time to read it all. In fact, I think we got to read it all. All this stuff works together. I don't have time. We just have a little bit of time left. All right, so 1 John 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, so it's talking about when Jesus calls us up, when we're with Christ, when he appears, we will appear with him. We don't see that yet, but we will. That's our hope, right? Because it hadn't happened yet. And it says, beloved, now we are sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So that's really what I felt like the Holy Spirit was calling to me in my life. I needed to purify myself. But it wasn't me doing it myself. All this stuff from the beginning to the end is through believing the Word of God. Every bit of it. Every bit of work that I want to have in my life in relationship to Christ is a work that he works in when I believe his word. And I think it's key. It's very key. I've worked at it. I had sin in my life, different sins and acceptable. What I say is acceptable because a lot of us in this world kind of agree. It's just part of the sin that goes with the body. And we walk in it. And, there's times in my life, especially several years ago, where it was rampant. I was craving everything. Everything I was craving. And it's like, man, I got to get a hold of myself. I'm gonna start fasting. You know what I mean? My body's getting out of control. Fasting will line it back out. You know what I'm saying? I'll try different things. And some of that stuff worked for a little bit. You know what I mean? But not very long. It didn't work very long. And so I was wanting to be able to share with a pure heart the pure word of God that works. And it goes on, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest, talking about Jesus. So Jesus came to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. I'll tell you, that kind of hurts. It's sharp. I read this, I was like, man, this is a tough one. And the thing is, it's also kind of in the back of the Bible. I think the Holy Spirit did that on purpose. Because think about if we were to read this thing and we had the ability to have such a believing heart in every bit of it we read, that it produced faith for every bit of it as we read it. By the time we got to this point, we'd be like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And it says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. So that would destroy sin, right? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So, this almost, and I mean, I'll admit, sometimes it almost seems like it's contradicting itself, because First John 1, it says we all have sin. And if you do, come before Christ and confess your sins, and he'll be faithful to forgive you. So it's like, where is this coming from? And I want to tell you where I think it's coming from, because I want to flip over here to Hebrews 10. And I don't plan on leaving us hanging here, guys. I think there's a way out. Hebrews 10. Let's go. Hebrews 10:22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That pure water would be the word of God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling, like we're doing right now, right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, I think that's the key there. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment, supposed ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden under the foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So, here's what I'm getting out of this. My expectations have changed. And my expectations is that this Word of God, the Gospel of Christ, the blood of Jesus, delivers me out of bondage. And that in Christ, He has overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And as I've come to believe in that, I've received faith in that. Right? Everybody agree with that? Yeah. Right, Jim?
Yeah.
Grunts? Thank you. Thank you. But what I'm saying is that, and what I'm going back to is there was a point, and maybe it's just a point of maturity of not understanding, but there was an acceptable amount of baggage that I carried. And I just thought everybody was in on it. And then I met Jim, and I was like, he's not in on it. He's not in on it. That's why I asked you to sit in the front seat, Jim. I needed somebody. We're kind of a team here, you know what I mean? So that was my expectation, but it didn't set right. When I read the word, it was trying to give me reproof. It was trying to correct me. It was trying to give me doctrine. And it wasn't based on my experience or anybody else's experience but Jesus Christ, right? And Jesus is the door, right? Jesus is the way. So the way out, you know, and I'll give a brief. The world, you know, I'm not done walking it out. I'm sure the world's going to tempt me, but the world, it, almost in my life, it was easier to turn off, you know, because I was able to plug into the Word and turn it off. And when I did that, the desires of my heart changed. The things that I wanted that the world showed me as I grew up, I wanted those a lot. But then when I got my eyes on Him, He literally changed those desires. I don't desire those things anymore. I literally desire Him more than anything else in the world. And so, the desires changed. The world to me wasn't that hard. And I guess it's probably harder for a rich man, right? But it wasn't that hard for me. The devil, you know, in James 4:7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And we know that Jesus crushed the head of the snake, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. And so, the devil does his job, and the devil will shake us up, and he'll try to go after us, and he'll tempt us, and he'll stir people up, and he'll try to get us, make us crazy, and he'll try to take us, our eye off of Christ, and he'll try to distract us. And sometimes he'll get us, and then we'll get back in, and we'll fight the fight, right? But the devil, when you've submitted yourself to God, he doesn't have, exactly, he has no power. And so the same way you overcome the world, by keeping your eyes on Christ and being in the Word and letting the desires of your heart change, you also overcome the devil. And it's through Christ, right? So then it leaves the terrible thing of the flesh, right? The flesh, does everybody have flesh in here? All right, so I want to make sure. Somebody didn't raise their hand over here. So the flesh, right? Well, there's one thing. I'm going to flip over here to Hebrews 4. And I do want to read all of Hebrews 4. So here we go. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. And I'm telling you, so they're talking about the people of God that was delivered out of Egypt, going through the wilderness. It says the gospel was preached as well unto them. I thought that was awesome. But the word preached did not profit them. not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath. If they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So that's how come they were able to enter and we were able to enter. Because the work of Christ, the finished work of Christ, was completed before the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. How do you enter into his rest? It did say that already. Anybody? By believing. We believe. We believe. We believe. That's our part in this whole thing. We believe. We labor. I love it. My labor now, and it wasn't what it was most of my life. My labor right now, and I hope for the rest of my life, is I labor at believing the word of God. That's what I labor at. I read it, I believe it, and I labor. So they were not able to believe, so they didn't enter into the rest. We have the same thing. They heard the gospel, we heard the gospel. Sometimes we give the devil, you know, too much credit. You know what I'm saying? We hold him up and it's like, man, maybe he's more powerful than the word of God. I've got to just try harder over here. Try harder at believing. That's what you try harder at. And you got to believe. You can't believe if you don't hear. You can't believe if you don't have the word. You're trying harder at believing. It's the same thing with the world. And guess what? It's the same thing with the flesh. You enter in the same doorway every time, and the doorway is Christ. So, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus has given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And so it's easy, but it's also hard, because it goes against, there's nothing else like God. There's nothing else like the work of God. And there's nothing else like the word of God. And so it's almost against our senses that if we want something, we've got to work at it. And in this, Jesus already did it. So we work at believing. And I'm telling you, what we believe in here, it's really cool. Hope I have time to talk about faith. So let us therefore labor. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So if I had a sword in my hand, if this was a sword and I stuck somebody with it, it would go into their flesh, right? That's all it would be able to do, is go in their flesh. The word of God, though, let's look at it. It's a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul. Would that be the mind, will, and emotions, right? It can pierce into that. The spirit, it can pierce into that. And of the joints and marrow, that would be the flesh. So the word of God actually will work on all three when we believe. But it won't if we don't. If we look at our experience in this life and it's like, man, I've tried not to sin. I've thought I believed. I've done this, this, and that. Are we disqualifying the word of God that said it works by our experience? We're not. So I'm saying, like, this works. Let every man be a liar. God is telling the truth. So here we are. I'm just going to read that last part again. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So it knows it all. It works on all of it. There's nothing about us that is too great or too wretched for God to handle if we believe. All right, Hebrews 11:1. I really like Hebrews 11:1. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. So we labor, and there's some takeaways. We labor at believing the word of God, the finished work of Christ. And when we do that, we have rest. And why is that? Because of faith. So the same way we're saved is the same way we walk in Christ. So we're saved by grace through faith, right? So it's by the power and the goodness of God toward those who believe Him, right? They didn't see it. I didn't see Jesus. I didn't see Jesus on the cross. You know, and whenever I just flirted with the idea that Jesus was a real person, my life didn't even change. But when I believed it, that it was practical, that Jesus Christ really did come, He really did die, and my sins really did put Him on that cross, and He is a real person, and He is really alive, and on the third day, He really got up. Whew. My life really changed because I really believed. And I'm telling you, now it's like Jesus Christ is alive. And if somebody said, pick, is Jesus alive or is Jim sitting in front of you? Jesus is alive. How do we have that level of belief? It's because when we believe those things that we do not see, that God says, He, in His grace, gives us faith. Faith is the gift. And so it's the evidence. Now I have evidence that's so real in my spirit, I believe it before I believe my eyes. And it'll never leave me if I never leave Him. Seriously. So the same way that works, and the same way that I came to know Christ, I also come to believe all the fullness that's in Christ, all the finished work that's in Christ. See, we're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into the body of Christ. So what's true of Him is also true of us. And so if Christ overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil, we overcome it the same way. And so here I am. This all sounds great. What do I do with the bag of sins that I'm carrying around that I'm still wanting to overcome? Because I would really like to get them off my back. I would really like to give a gospel that leads somebody out of sin and not into my sins. You know, that's where I was at. You know, and I'm like, man, is everybody dealing with this? Does everybody just accept it? We've got a God that's perfect. We have Jesus Christ that lived a perfect life. We have the perfect blood of Christ. When He forgave me, it wasn't just for me, but it was so that I could forgive everyone. Every one of His gifts has multiple benefits to it. His blood didn't just atone for my sins and pay for the guilt that was due. You know, He didn't just pay the wages, but it washed me clean. But it didn't if I don't believe it. And my experience will validate what I don't believe. Faith validates what I do believe. And I start walking in it. So there's this evidence there. So here I am dealing with the flesh. And I'm going to tell you, let's flip over to Galatians 2:20. So I like Galatians 2:20. I like all these verses. Thank you, Jim. You told me to say that, so I didn't want to let you down. You said they would like that. Oh, Galatians 2:20. So I really like this one. You know, going out to Lifeline with John, this is one he really wants to get in those guys' hearts, and it's a reason for it. But I used to teach this verse, and I liked it, and I thought I believed it. But I'm telling you, now that I realize I didn't believe it and I thought I did. And the difference is I have faith now and I didn't before. And I didn't know I didn't have faith. Whenever I said I had faith, what I was really saying is I had hope. And sometimes when we believe the word of God, that's what we have. Just like when we believe in salvation, it hasn't happened yet. We have hope. But we have an expectation that it will because of the one who said it. Same thing here. We have hope, but what if we have no expectation? Right? And so, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so, just like whenever I read the gospel, or I heard the gospel, I could either believe in Jesus as a theory on paper, like it sounds good, sounds like it might be, make my life better. It works in theory. It works at church, but it don't away. But when He became real to me and I believed it practically as it was written, it changed my life. Same thing here. So I am crucified with Christ. I don't remember being crucified, but I also don't remember seeing Jesus. So in the same way that I got faith that gives me, that tells me for a fact that Jesus Christ is alive, in that same way I will get faith that I am crucified with Christ. I will believe it because it's the Word of God. And I'm telling you, there's faith that comes out of it. So the faith here that we need, if we need to pull from a source that's not Christ, we can pull from Abraham. Abraham believed God's word. God said, Abraham, you will have many nations come out of you. Your offspring will be more numerous than the sands of the seashore, right? Abraham didn't have any child, but he believed God. And I think Abraham even laughed. And I think he laughed because he knew he was laughter of joy because he heard the one who said it and he believed him. We're going to flip over real quick and look at that because this is too good not to. In Romans, I think Romans 3, right? Jim, any grunting? Is it Romans 3? Or 4? Let's go with Romans 4. I was real close. Romans 4. Let's go Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which were not as though they were. God likes calling those things which are not as if though they were. And he really loves to give grace and faith to those people who believe those things. That's how that works, the whole thing. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So if I read Galatians 2:20, I wish I'd have brought water, but I didn't. If I ask Abraham, Galatians 2:20, knowing what Abraham did just there, what we just read in Romans 4. Abraham, you were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Yet not you, but Christ lives in you. Would Abraham said, but my body's right here? Or would his body not factor into the equation? See, Abraham right here, it says, he considered not his own body dead when he was about to 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So Abraham is, we have this story for our benefit because the way we enter into rest in sin of the flesh is believing the promise of God. We enter in that way. It's by grace through faith. The same way we come to know him, we also walk with him. That's what it says in Colossians. The same way I got to know him is the same way you got to know him, if we all know him, right? It's by grace and faith. We have the assurance. We have evidence that Jesus Christ lives, and we've never seen him. So that same way we believe in the crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. My body has nothing to do with it. It's not part of the equation. So if I'm crucified with Christ, what's really awesome is a crucified man, his members are mortified. I haven't been around dead people very much, but I can promise you without seeing them, they have mortified members. What happens when we receive the fullness of the faith that God has for us by grace, when we truly believe the word, just like we believe in Jesus, is we, by the Spirit of God, have mortified members of our flesh. We walk in the crucifixion, and we also walk in the resurrection. And I'm telling you, it changes your life. The Word of God is actually powerful. It's effectual. It works. It backs it up. It says it does. And it's a gospel that we offer people that delivers them out of bondage and not into our bondage, but into the finished work of Christ. All right. So when I read this Galatians 2:20, and whenever he was showing me this, it was awesome. I didn't know I didn't believe it. In fact, maybe I had hope in it. I don't even know for sure. But I didn't know I didn't have faith in it. Because when I received faith, I had this evidence that I knew I didn't have before. And see, whenever God gives us faith, if God told me right now that there was a chair right here to the right side of me, and I couldn't see it, he calls those things which are not as if though they were, and I believed him, and I practically believed him, and faith came, I don't have to keep remembering that. Faith changes my walk just like the faith in Christ changed my walk. So I would start, y'all would think I was weird, but I would start walking around the chair, and nobody would see it. In the same way, when I received faith in the crucifixion of Christ, that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. When I receive that, I start walking around sin. And I'm telling you, where my members used to desire it, I don't have to refuse it because they stopped desiring it. And I promise you, I'm not misleading you. This is truth. This is the gospel in power. This is the gospel that makes those people, when they're teaching them, you remember the way you used to live, but you don't anymore? They received the power of the gospel that delivered them out of sin. So did they ever screw up? Yep. But they didn't willfully continue walking in sin and validate each other in that experience. And they don't validate the word of God by their experience. We got a few minutes. Can we just go through the rest of the book of Romans? Romans 6 makes a lot more sense now that I have faith in the I am crucified with Christ part. See, I was baptized and I thought I believed all that stuff and I had hope, but I almost just like I gave up my expectation. My expectation changed because of my experience. My expectation changed because of other people's testimony. We guard and we hold up high sometimes our experience as if God didn't call us out of this life of less than Christ. He called us out of it. He gave us a way. And sometimes we think it there is no way and that this is just the way it's going to be. But that's not Christ. Christ was perfect. And the work he did was perfect. And the faith that he gave us, by the way, it was his. He's the author and the finisher of faith. Does he authorize something imperfectly? So how do we strengthen our faith? Is we receive step one of faith. We believe in Jesus. And then we know it's true. We know he's real. We know he's the Son of God. We know he died for us. And he lives for us. And he runs to us. He takes it very serious, us being tempted by sin. In Hebrews it says he runs to us to help lead us out when we're being tempted. His expectation is we don't fall for the temptation. Man, if you picture in your mind Jesus Christ running to you in that moment and you have an expectation of it and you're looking for him, he is faithful. I promise you, he's faithful. And so, faith is his. We call it our faith because he gives it to us. It's our faith. We have to strengthen our faith. So what we do is we don't strengthen the faith he gave us. We strengthen our faith by bringing alongside of it other things we believe that God said. And we take a string of faith that is Christ and we wrap it around with other strings of faith, which are the finished work of Christ. We wrap it around with our identity when we learn about our identity in Christ. And now our faith strengthened. We wrap it with our authority in Christ, our faith strengthened. Our destiny in Christ, our faith is strengthened. The finished work of Christ, the rest in Christ. All these things, we wrap it around and we have this cord and we walk in the fullness of what God called us to in this life. And what I like to see it as is it's a stairway. With step one, I come to know Jesus. Step two, my identity. Step three, my authority. And it's a stairway that he literally leads us home. And he presents us holy and blameless before God at the top of those stairs. So that holy part would be that we have a pure heart. We're not desiring and lusting after sin. We're desiring and lusting after him. Right? We're pure heart, holy. We were like him. The blameless part, I think, would be we believe his word. You know, I could be blamed for, you didn't believe me. You know, I think about my parent, like, you did that because you didn't, I told you not to, but you didn't believe me. I told you you could, but you didn't. Like that, we would be blameless if we believe the word of God. We would also walk in the fullness of what he has for us if we believe the word of God. But I'm telling you the key thing, because I'm telling you the flesh gets way too much credit. God spoke and created the universe. Sometimes we act like he can't speak and remake the thing, the vessel that is in his house, and use it for a different purpose, because he can. If we believe it, he can. If we pursue it practically, then it will work in our life. And by grace, through faith, it's just like, I got to hit. I want to go through 6. We don't have time, but Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know how much more sense that makes to me now that I have faith in the crucifixion, and that now that I am dead in Christ, I'm alive to God? And now I don't walk after the flesh, because a dead man don't lust. And the Holy Scripture works in me because I believe it, and it's the real power of God that mortifies my member, and it's not my flesh that I get to stop working and rest. And it's not anything I've done. It's the same thing. It's available for everybody. It's the expectation if we don't get distracted. You know what sin does? I've got a couple of minutes left. But 8:1 is true, because now the new creation, I got to make a point about this. We are a new creation. This new creation that's walking in the finished work of Christ does not have to walk after the flesh. We can. We don't have to. Never again. Ever again. We probably might sometimes. But the cool part about that is we can be corrected instantly. He will run to us, and we will not be in willful sin. We'll be like, oh gosh, thank you. And we won't walk willfully in sin. We'll walk in the Spirit. We'll be redirected, corrected. But sin in our life, what it does, and why it's important to acknowledge it does something, I'm not even going to flip to it, it's in Hebrews, is what it does is it causes us to have a hard heart. And it causes us not to believe the Word of God. And so in our experience, when we validate our sin life and we don't call it what it is and allow the Word of God to reprove us, and that's really to get in your face and call it what it is. You're in sin. I'm in sin. Let me heal you. That's what he wants to do. And so when we don't allow that to happen and we start believing what we see instead of believing what he says, then we'll just continue on the same life cycle over and over. And we'll have this dulled down gospel of Christ, and we'll offer that to somebody, and it'll be probably much better than what they have. And you know what? The Holy Spirit can pick it up and run with it. We're not leading them to freedom. That's what we're doing. Like I said in the beginning, we're leading them to him, and he'll lead them to freedom. But the word of God and the expectation needs to be there, that he wants to deliver us from all of it. And the doorway is Christ. And the pathway is by grace through faith. How you come to know him is how you will walk with him. And there's hundreds of scriptures and verses in here that support all this. Hundreds. There's pathway after pathway after pathway after pathway. And it's pointing to Jesus. To Jesus and Jesus. And I'm telling you, it practically works. Faith is so key. And we don't try harder for faith. We believe harder for faith. And we believe it differently, not in the theory that it works, not on Sunday that it works, and I'm not knocking that at all, but it's just like, it's so literal. When we start believing this word of God, like it's the word of God, and it literally works exactly how it said, we only have to read into it and reinterpret it. Man, it was written perfectly. Perfectly. So many times I used to read a verse and I'd be like, this is what it means to me. What does it mean to him? He will tell me. What does it mean to him? I don't want it to be messed up by my experience or my expectations. I want it to lift me up out of that. So that's my time. And I'm going to say a prayer. And I would like to offer, if anybody wants prayer, I would like to pray with them. Jim, I'm sure, would pray. pray with me as well. But let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord God, for your word tonight. And I just pray that the seed land on good soil, Lord God, and that it just bring us to have a desire for you, a desire for more, a desire for your word to work in us exactly like it says, Lord God. Lord God, I just lift up those who are in sickness tonight and who are trying to recover. Lord God, by your stripes, we are healed, Lord God, and we know that, and we just call that sickness out of every one of them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we just love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for changing our lives. Thank you for giving us hope, Lord God. Thank you for being real. Thank you for being love. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.